Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, from the second chapter. We consider verses 13 through 17 as follows. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, in whom we trust, through the work of the Holy Spirit, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. It was a real problem for him, even if he wasn't a real boy, whenever Pinocchio, the fictional boy created by Geppetto, told a lie, his nose grew longer. It was embarrassing for him, but no doubt helpful for anyone he talked to. If only whenever a politician or journalist lied or told a half-truth, their nose would grow longer, right? We have a similar problem, but it isn't with our noses. It's said that when we become conceited or filled with pride, our heads get bigger. Of course, that really doesn't mean that our hat size increases with pride, but we understand the expression. Whether we like to admit it or not, pride is a problem for every one of us. And we naturally think self first. Well, Pastor, perhaps you're thinking, you don't know me well enough to say that. Okay, allow me to illustrate. Suppose that I say, I thank God for you. What do I mean? Well, obviously, I must mean that I praise God for some quality that you possess, right? Thank God you have such good sense in choosing a pastor, and kindness, and good looks. Maybe I'm just thankful that you are you. You notice how we naturally place all of the emphasis on the word you rather than the word God? We like to also understand the word for to mean because of. I thank God because of you. Well, I do thank God for you. And while I could thank God for some quality that you possess, I thank God on your behalf for you. You'll notice that's exactly what the Apostle Paul also did for the Thessalonians here in his second letter. In the first chapter, he began by giving thanks to God that he had granted them faith to trust in Jesus. And after, in the second chapter, warning them about the Antichrist and telling of his future destruction, the Apostle Paul again thanked God for the Thessalonians, not for what they were doing, but for what had been done for them. This morning we meditate upon those words given by the Holy Spirit to Paul, because they were also given for us, to cause us to grow in faith and also to thank God for all of his kindness to us. We should thank God for you, that is, on your behalf, for four good reasons. God chose you from the beginning. God chose you to be saved through the work of the Holy Spirit. God called you through faith to faith through the gospel of Christ. And God has given you the means to stand firm and to hang on to this precious gift. May God the Holy Spirit lead us to praise God that for what he has in mercy done for us through these words. Amen. Do we owe God anything? Well, perhaps praise, thanks. There are some Christians today who say that we also owe God 10% or a tithe of all that we possess. While God, of course, required 10% of His Old Testament people, He has not restated that command in the New Testament. God does not require of us 10% of all of our possessions. Still, when the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to write to the Thessalonians in this second letter, he said that he and Timothy and Silas were obligated to thank God for them, that is, on their behalf. It wasn't something that they begrudgingly did either, but joyfully thank God for all of His blessings to them. First of all, that He determined to make them His own from the very beginning. Verse 13 says, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you." It's not God's fault. It's our own. Even though God's word says it simply in places like this and in others, we human beings naturally want to credit ourselves in some fashion for trusting in Jesus. Jesus told His disciples that they did not choose Him, but that He chose them. Salvation through faith in Jesus is God's gift, not our choice. It isn't just that God's word declares this. It's also the way in which God describes this gift. It's called an inheritance. In the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us what will happen when He comes to judge the living and the dead on the last day. On that day, He will divide the sheep, believers, from unbelievers, the goats. And He will say to believers, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." I want to remind you, first of all, that Jesus describes our eternal salvation as an inheritance. And you know what that is, right? An inheritance is simply something freely given by a gracious Father to His children. Do you earn an inheritance? You might think so. But who decides to give it? Your Father. And so it is a free gift. In addition, Jesus says that our inheritance was prepared from the foundation of the world. So let's recap these two simple points. Our eternal salvation, our place in heaven, is a gift, an inheritance freely given by our Father that was planned and prepared before the foundation of the world. So it isn't dependent upon something you do or have done. And yet when Jesus goes on in the verses to follow to speak of the evidence of faith, the fruits of faith, some people read the verses and conclude that they're going to go to heaven because they visited people in prison and helped people with food and clothing. This after Jesus got done saying that eternal salvation is an inheritance and a gift. That can be the case because Jesus Himself did all of the earning without our aid. So that's the reason why Paul called upon the Thessalonians and calls upon you today to thank God because He chose you from the beginning, before you were ever a glint in your Father's eye, before you were ever born, before you ever did anything that might be called good. God chose you for a purpose, and that purpose was to save you. And God's choice is based upon His amazing love and grace, and not upon your goodness or quality that you possess. Yes, He saved us through the work of the Spirit, verse 13, the rest of the verse, But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. When we plant a garden, we don't just push the seeds under the soil and then walk away. That is, if we expect actually to harvest anything from the garden. We also carefully water when it doesn't rain. We pull weeds, we fertilize, we watch out for bugs and bunnies and anything else that might chew down the little plants. Likewise, God didn't just make plans to save us in eternity. He didn't just plant the seed. When the time was right, He, through the work of the Holy Spirit, brought us to faith and caused us to trust in Jesus. You might say that these verses look at the entire work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to faith and to keep us in faith until the day that we pass from this life into heaven. For most of us, we entered into this new relationship with God. He became our Father and we His children when we were baptized. The Holy Spirit directed the apostle to write to Titus about this very thing in these words. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's truly a humbling thought, and I want you to think about it a little bit this morning. God didn't only choose you in eternity. He also then used the word spoken to you by your parents, by different pastors, by Sunday school teachers, to both establish and maintain your faith in Jesus. So today, think back on your childhood and thank God that He was merciful to you. And He used your parents, He used pastors, Sunday school teachers to point you, not to yourself, but to Jesus' cross. Thank God that He loved you from eternity and called you to faith in time through the gospel of Christ. He did the same for the Thessalonians, as it's here written, verse 14. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Thessalonians, it was a little different. Many of them were adults, living in their own little town along the Ignatian Way, that famous Roman road. When the itinerant preacher Paul rolled into town with his group of preachers, and they heard for the first time how God sent His Son into human flesh and blood. You got to hear that, many of you, from childhood. But one day, Paul came into town, and by the grace of God, they learned how Jesus suffered for their sins, died, and rose again the third day to purchase a place for them in heaven. And it was in this way that the Holy Spirit called them to believe in Jesus. And He did it so that they might one day see the glory of the Lord Jesus Himself. We look forward to that ourselves, as you heard in Jesus' high priestly prayer this morning. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known me, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Yes, we should indeed thank God on your behalf, that God not only determined to save you in eternity, but in time sent His Spirit to work faith in your heart, that you might believe. So after calling upon the Thessalonians, fellow believers and family in Christ, to join him in thanking God for His mercy, the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to encourage them with these words. Verse 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Do you know what a fidgety spinner is? I bet it's not the latest craze anymore. It's probably passed on so that nobody cares about them. But it wasn't all that long ago when everyone had to have a fidgety spinner. Isn't it that the way it is with fads? People are looking for something new, and before long it's forgotten all over again. It seems that sometimes people want to do the same thing with religion. Instead of sticking to God's established word, they're always looking for the newest thing. The newest and most charismatic preacher. Instead of clinging to the solid, the unchanging, the true. And we might be tempted to do the same thing. The Spirit here urges both the Thessalonians and us to hang on to the teachings passed on to us in the Scriptures. In their case, they were passed on by word of mouth. In our case, they're passed on through the written word. We're not to look for something new, but to hold on to that which is solid and true. For only then will we remain strong against the assaults of the devil. And on what Scripture declares, we therefore believe. God has given you the means in His Word to stand firm and hang on to the gift of faith. Success in this vital matter depends not on your grip, but on your God. Which is why the Holy Spirit moved Paul to offer up this final prayer. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God the Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And this ought to be our daily prayer, one for the other, that the Lord Jesus Himself, along with our Heavenly Father, might encourage and strengthen our hearts to serve Him in both word and deed. May God so enable us. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.